Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. How many got a prophetic word this morning? Just me? Didn't you get one? Just get one right now. Just put your hand in your head. Ready? Say, yay, you're awesome. The Lord would say, you're hashtag awesome. And the Lord would say, I bless you supernaturally, exceedingly, abundantly, over the top. You ain't seen nothing yet. There's more, more, more for you. Open your heart, believe it. Open your mouth and speak it, for you'll see it. You'll surely see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Oh. How many got a word this morning? Man, I'm telling you, that was good right there. Wow, hallelujah. You feeling good? Hashtag invite, all right? How many know what hashtag means? That's for Twitter and for Facebook and all that stuff. You can put hashtag invite, then put Impact London, LDN, or pound for those people, pound. But then, you know, you can push hashtag invite and hashtag Impact London, LDN, and you can see what all your other peeps are doing. What? Honey, I don't know, man. They're looking at me strange today. All right. September the 7th, we're having a big Sunday. We're inviting the whole city, everybody. How many have friends, family, people need Jesus? How many work with people need Jesus? How many got a neighbor needs Jesus? How many got a dog needs Jesus? You know, we have a dog, Beauregard Arthur Wellington II. And we need prayer for our dog because he got kicked out of PetSmart. I'm not kidding. They actually tried to clip his nails last time, and he did not like it. I mean, they had a muzzle on him, pulled him right to a post, and they were doing everything they could to try to hold him down. And when they were done, they said, Beauregard can no longer come to PetSmart. Is that sad or what? I don't know if that's a statement about his owners or... He is a good pup. He's just courageous, bold, and very confident. Lord Jesus. So pray for Beauregard. Amen. Whenever you think about us. Hallelujah. I'm excited today. I feel so blessed. I'm so blessed. I just feel so encouraged by the Lord himself today. So let's jump into the word. Are you ready? Now we want to talk about hashtag invite, what we're doing. The vision statement of Impact Church is transforming lives to impact their world. That's what it is right there, transforming lives. How many have had your life transformed by the love of God, the goodness of God? Totally just messed up in a good way. I'm so grateful for what God's did. When I think about it, wow, I have so much to be grateful for. You know, this coming May, it'll be 25 years. We're going to have a big party. It'll be 25 years that Cheryl and I came to London. 25 years. So we're just declaring it now. We're having a big party. We're sending out invitations everywhere. We're going to have a messy week of just bliss. Oh, that was good right there. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, man, just last week, just thinking about this sermon and this series and even September, I believe September is going to be a real rich time of harvest. And, you know, we got to get ready. We got to prepare. You got to look around because all around you, I'm telling you, the harvest fields are white. And I've been driving down the streets with fresh eyes. I've been driving down the streets with fresh vision. You know, we came to London about 26 years ago just for a visit. Pastor Stanley Hammond, he invited us to come. And Pastor Stanley, after we ministered, he drove us all around town and said, you'd love this town. You guys should live in this town. And we're like, not a chance. It was a church, little church, and had about 20 old folks in it. And it was interesting. So they were old dust. Now, you know, anyways, praise Jesus. But we just, you know, that's nice, Pastor Stanley, that's nice. He invited us back again, went through the same dog and pony show to sell us again. And, you know, pulling out of town, both Cheryl and I said, you know what, it's not really that the church or whatever's going on there is a big deal, but I do feel a tug to that city, I really do. And I feel there's an assignment for us in that town. And, You know, I want to get that passion back for this city. You know, this city is our church. This city is our parish. This city is our responsibility. And I just, with fresh eyes, looking at people, just you turn in the light and you look at a person next to you and just start to weep. You just turn and you're going down the street and you see people and see people waiting for buses and people in Tim Hortons. And you just realize, wow, I am here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. We're here to do something great, you know. And we're about transforming lives, but we want those lives not just to be transformed and then hang out, wait till Jesus gets you out of this mess. We want to see people's lives transformed so that they will impact their world, that you're touched. I mean, everywhere when lives were touched, Jesus said, now go tell your family and friends. Go tell them what God has done for you. And you know, your life is impacted. Your life is transformed so that your world can be shifted and changed forever. You know, and everything necessary for your world to be completely transformed and changed and the glory of God to shine on it is already done. You just got to embrace it. Hashtag invite. Amen. So I looked up the word there, all right, there, because it's right there in the mission statement, there. It's a pronoun, a form of a possessive case of they used as a attributive adjective before a noun. Their home, their rights, their citizens, their church, their city, their family. It's our stuff. We got a responsibility where we are that there is around us. There is a sphere of influence and people that we need to impact. Last week we talked about Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. Isn't that good? You are the salt of the earth. Salt. We see as Jesus sees. That means we value people. We accept as Jesus is. We accept people right where they are. And we totally accept them even as they are. We accept people. You know, Jesus accepts you. Isn't that amazing? See, we had it backwards for so long. We're telling people, come and accept Jesus. But the good news is, Jesus accepts you. And we really got to see every person. You know, Jesus accepts them. He absolutely loves them. We got to love as he loves unconditionally. And then touch. Touch is Jesus' touch. His touch was transformational. There's nobody that he touched that wasn't totally changed and transformed. Can I get an amen? Do I need water, honey? Was I foaming at the mouth? Was I... You sure? Because I hate it when that happens. You know when I the platform's balanced. It's when I'm foaming out of both sides of the mouth. Second Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, the area of influence. Paul talked about the area of influence. He talked about the sphere. It's the Greek word kainon. It's the word. It's a rule. It says there is a definite boundary, fixed space within limits which one's power and influence is confirmed. Paul said, I've been given an area of influence. He said, and it includes you. And he said, I want your faith to come to full maturity because I want to go other places. I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Spain. He said, and there's things that I believe God has poured desires in my heart to do. But to move beyond that area of influence, I've got to see this realized. I've got to show good stewardship right now over the sphere that I'm in. So you have a sphere of influence right now. Many times people are, oh, I see myself down here. I see myself way over there. I see you have a sphere right now that God has given you stewardship of. And as the Apostle Paul said, he said, I have a sphere of influence and literally it has boundaries and I'm running in this lane and I want to go beyond, but I can't go to B until I did A. Can't go to C until I did AB. I can't go to D until I did ABC. And there's a sphere of influence that God has called you and placed you in and established you in that you've got a responsibility to minister in. So we talked about last week identifying your sphere. Identifying your sphere. How many know you got people? It's my people. Say my people. My people will know Jesus. My people will see a glorious God. My people will experience his goodness. You got people. We all got people. They say on average, you have 12 people every week that you've spent more than an hour with. Some many more hours, but at least 12 people, at least an hour. And not just time, not just work beside, but in some intimate form, there's about 12 people. Now, if you don't have 12, smarten up. You're below average. So come on. Now there's people, there's a sphere of influence you have. You've got people, you've got family, you've got friends, you've got people in your sphere. Now you know what? Those are your people. You know what that means? Those people are your responsibility. You got your place. We saw in the scripture it says God puts us in time and place. You are where you are. I want to bloom somewhere else. You know what? Well, you can bloom somewhere else when you bloom where you're planted right now. There's a place God put you in, and you got a responsibility for that sphere, and then you got your passions. How many have a passion? How many love lawn bowling? Just me? That's all. You know, there's things you like, and things you like shouldn't be pushed out of your life. You should embrace them. You know, God's put passions in your life, things you desire. I mean, Mike is going to go, his sphere is going to shift. He's going to go all the way to Concordia to play football. And he thinks that, you know, his dad made him do that. No. I mean, he thinks it's an opportunity. He thinks I'm going to, but you know, God is going to shift Micah's sphere. Suddenly, he's going to be put in another place. And you know what put him in that place? His passion. His passion put him in a relationship. He is close to a whole different group of people than you are because he has a passion to play football. Adam has a passion to play football. So he hangs out with people that have stinky socks and sweaty armpits all the time. God put him in that sphere, and it's a passion. Don't play football, brother. Just serve Jesus. No, your passion is where you can serve Jesus. Maybe you love to paint. Maybe, you know, maybe you love to ride a bicycle. Maybe you like to, like Daryl, you like to go to the gym and work out and pray for the sick. He's got a sphere. It's my world. This is where I hang out. I got a passion for fitness, and this realm is going to be impacted by Jesus. It's my people, it's my place, and my passion. That whole thing is all given to you so that that whole realm, your sphere, can be influenced by God. Now, impact your sphere. We talked about how you do it with your manner. Just have good manners, come on. No, it's your manner, it's how you live, it's your life. It's your life just living. How many have impacted people just by living? I know we got somebody here who's just doing their job, just living, and another girl came to church because she said, I wanted to find out where she went to church, because I usually don't like Christians, but I like her. And I was completely befuddled by the fact that, why do I like this Christian? They usually annoy me, but I love this girl. I think she's awesome. And she came to this church because she was curious. She said, I want to know where this person does her church thing. And she came here, and she came once and went, I like that. She came back, said, I like it again. She came back in. She kept coming back. And then week after week, about six times, she kept putting her hand up for salvation. We finally went over and said, you just got to do it once, you know. It's all good. It's just part of your journey. I just want to make sure I'm in. I love Jesus. You know, that all happened because somebody was just living life right there in the workplace. And this person said, I want to know what makes you like this. Totally saved, baptized, filled with the Spirit, serving Jesus. I mean, Tania is in the church because Julie was on the street. Julie literally ran her down. Julie ran down the street. Tania went, oh my God, did we steal from somebody? What's happening? This person's chasing me. What? She chased her down. She just ran, chased her down. And Julie said, this is my street. Anybody on the street needs Jesus. Look at that one. She needs Jesus. Chased her down. And Tania's in the church, healed, set free, loving Jesus, just going hard. Because Julie said, she's in my sphere. She's going to get it. There's moments, and that was for Julie, that was a moment. That was like, Julie didn't wake up that day saying, I'm going to go chase somebody out the street. She was on the street, and all of a sudden saw somebody, felt God move on her heart. She had a moment. She had a divine encounter with that person. They experienced God on the street, and a person got delivered, set free, never the same. It was a moment. And then there's your message. I mean, you got somebody, please. I mean, have you got a message? I don't know. Hallelujah. I don't have a message. Tell me now, when somebody's drowning and you're going to throw them a life ring, do they need to know what life ring means in Greek and in Hebrew? I'd like to first of all tell you about how the life ring came into being. The life ring came into manifestation. It was invented by, you don't need to know. You don't need to understand the mystery of the Trinity and the incarnation and all that stuff. All you need to know is that he touched my life. I met Jesus. He is the real deal. I have a personal living relationship with a wonderful God who completely accepts me and loves me. And all I know is that if he could do it for me, he could do it for you too. That's all it is. You know what? We got a story. You got a story. I got a story. So you got to identify your sphere. I told you what it was. Now you're responsible. You got people. You got places. You got passion. And then impact it with your manner, your moments, and your message. All right. Say thank you, Pastor. All right, so when Jesus began his ministry, he selected followers. Say followers. It says that right there, he had a mandate. It says, then he said to them, follow me and I will make you spiritual. Follow me and I will make you kinder. Follow me, I will make you richer. Follow me, I will make you smarter. Follow me, I will make you stronger. Follow me, I will make you generous. Follow me, I will make you religious. Hallelujah. I'll make you talk by adding a in the end of all your syllables. Hallelujah. He said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. I will make you. Circle the right answer. Everybody, fishers of men. Right there. And women, praise Jesus. Thank you, Kevin. Hallelujah. He's going to, you know, he talked to a bunch of fishermen. He said, you know what? This is what you've been doing. I'm going to turn that all upside down. You're going to fish men now. You're going to reach men. I'm going to change. I'm going to take you into a whole new realm. You're going to reach people. Tell me, what did God want to make you? What does Jesus want to make you? Followers are fishers of men. Followers are fishers of men. That's what they are. That's what Jesus started with when he drew his crowd, got his people, said, listen, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. All kinds of other benefits come along with this journey. But the primary purpose that you exist is to see the world that you live in transformed with his glory and to see people's lives touched and won into the kingdom. I mean, who won you to Jesus? Tell me, who influenced you for Jesus? Was it somebody with a lot of hairspray, a poof on, they had white shoes and a funky polyester suit? Did they scream and spit and say, you need Jesus? You're going to hell! I mean, is that how you came to Jesus? Yeah, that's, when we talk about evangelism, and you got to be fishers of men, people go, I got to wear white shoes, wear polyester, and put my hair like this and shout at people. You know what? The people who reached you, I'll bet you they were kind. I bet you they loved you. I bet you they were patient with you. I bet you they manifest the goodness of God to you. I bet you it was a long-term relationship, not just a little event. How many was that true for you? That's the kind of person God wants you to be. That's the kind of person he wants you to be. He doesn't want you to put on white shoes and scream and spit and wear hairspray. Unless you like that. Then there's a whole group of people you need to minister to. That's your sphere. So praise Jesus. Give me another verse. Look at this one. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So he began and then he ended. So he began his ministry saying, come with me, follow me, and I will make you. And then when he left, he said, look, guys, I'm going, but I'm going to give you power and authority. Wait for the Holy Ghost. Don't do anything without him. But when you get the Holy Ghost, that power is going to come on you. And the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be prosecutors. Hallelujah. You're going to prosecute evil, and you're going to go out, and you're going to stand up and say, Your Honor! I tell you, they did this and they did that. They're evil to the core, I tell you. Didn't say that, did it? It said, going to make you my defense attorneys. I just want to tell you, Jesus isn't so bad. He is. It may seem strange, but let me explain him. Let me totally explain Jesus to you. I want to give you all the information I can about Jesus. In Jesus' defense, he's not a bad. He didn't want you to be the defense or the prosecutor. He said, I want you to be the witness. That's what I want. I want you to sit in the box. What have you got to say about Jesus? Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was hopeless, but now I'm full of hope. Once I had nothing going on in my life, but now I believe that my future is in his hands, and I believe he's good, and he has condemned me to a life of good things, I'm telling you. It is really great, isn't it? It's really great. It's really great. This is what Jesus called you to, and he wants you to be. So followers fish and worshipers witness. Followers fish and worshipers witness. Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. What's the good news? He accepts you. He dealt with every negative, nasty issue that could possibly come between you and your father. He removed everything, and through me, you have total access to the goodness of God. Be reconciled to God. He dealt with the sins of the whole world. Come on. Be reconciled to God. Amen. That's some good stuff, Pastor. Thank you for that. All right, so you're called to impact your world. Today I want to talk about the process. All right, so we talked about your sphere of influence and that you're called to impact that sphere. Now I want to talk about the process. How do you do it? How do you do it, Pastor? All right, so number one, you got to be aware. All right, say aware. You got to be looking. You got to be knowing. There's stuff going on. There's things happening. See, Julie, something hit Julie, and she decided, I don't know what's going on, but I got to chase that girl. I'm not even sure why, but I feel this is a God appointment. And Julie could have said, that's really stupid. I got to push that aside. How dumb is that to chase down some girl? My goodness. But you know what? She was aware that I feel like this is a God thing. I feel like God's moving me to go chase after that person. Is that right, Julie? You were chasing who she was with as well, but you were chasing people like right out of nowhere, just randomly running down the street chasing people. God had said now, but you had to be aware, right? You had to be hearing his voice. You had to be ready for that moment. This is a moment. This is a holy moment now. All right. Hashtag holy moment now. You got to be aware. How many are aware? Are you aware? Are you aware of what's going on around you? Some people are only aware of their own needs, their own life. Oh God, my life's miserable. You know, some people come to us for counseling, and our advice is, what I want you to do is start to find a place to volunteer. I want you to actually go care for other people. But I got problems. I know, and you're going to solve your problems by ministering to other people. I don't know how that's going to work. Trust me. You know, when you get your focus on others, you get your mind off yourself. You start looking into Jesus. You start praying for the messes in other people's lives. Your life will change. You start blessing and refreshing other people, it works. You refresh others, you'll get refreshed. And that's the way it works. But number one, you got to be aware. So we talked about that last week, identifying your sphere and how to what is your fear, how to deal with it. All right, I want to talk about share. Let's say share. You ready? Share. Everybody say share. All right, Romans 10, 13 and 14. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus! Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be sozo, shall be healed, brought into health, brought into a wonderful divine relationship with the living God. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? How shall they believe on him who have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? All right. How many love these evangelism sermons? They love these reach the lost sermons. Hashtag invite. I feel pressure. Oh my goodness. I want to take the pressure off you today. I want to take the pressure off because this is something that you should be doing naturally. But I do want to send you. I do want to commission you to realize that there's so many people who need to experience the transforming power of God that you have. 1 Corinthians 3:5-8. Each of us did the work that God gave us to do. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, each of us did the work that God gave us to do. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters, they work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own work. There's reward in this stuff. It's good stuff in this stuff. Now, I want to show you something. Are you ready? Here it is. Just look at that. All right. A lovely little graph, isn't it? We got -6 all the way to +4. Some people might even be at -10. I don't know, but I thought we'd keep it here. But people that are around you, people who surround you, pretty much somewhere on this scale, all right? So you got people that are completely resistant. How many think everybody you know is resistant? Not everybody you know is resistant. Did you know that some statistics are between 60 and 80% of people, several, Gallup did one and another person did one, but they've done statistics. They've asked people who are unchurched, you know, would you go to church if you're invited? And most people said, absolutely. It's just nobody will invite me. You know, we get in our heads somewhere that the people we're with and stuff, they're resistant. But, you know, even if they are resistant, you can get them. Even if they are resistant, they still need Jesus. I had somebody once tell me, well, up rattle if people don't need God. You are so deceived. Everybody needs God. It may not look like they need God, but everybody needs God, and everybody's going to have a head-on collision with somebody who needs God. The amazing thing was then a couple weeks later, they were talking to their neighbors, and they said, we see you go to church every Sunday morning. They said, yeah. I said, wow. I said, you know, I grew up in a Baptist church. Really? Yeah. Did you know every night I close my eyes, I'm afraid that I'll wake up in hell. And they thought their neighbors were great. They don't need God. They had no idea that that person every night is afraid to fall asleep. They think they'll wake up in hell. You know why? Because they saw that evangelist with the hairspray and the white shoes and the polyester. Need to hear. It's probably true. They need to hear about the goodness of God. They really do, you know. But, you know, there are people that are resistant. But, you know, Like Paul said, I sowed some seed, Apollos watered, and, you know, so together we're working on folks. How many know that if they're resistant, you can still sow some seed? And sometimes it's just your manner, it's just your life, it's just little things. I mean, Daryl's right now, he's out at the gym, he's laying his hands on the sick. Do you know, one of the most powerful phrases for evangelism is, can I pray for you? Are you ready? Five words, say it together with me, you'll be delivered forever. Can I pray for you? Amen. You won't lose your job. Trust me. Maybe not. I don't know. It's weird these days, isn't it? But, you know, get him off. Take him for a coffee to Tim Hortons. Get him over there. I'm going to pray for you. You know, people may seem incredibly resistant, but you know what? You're not called to close the deal every day. But you know what we all are called to do? Let's just nudge them a little further down the road. Just nudge your neighbor. Give him a push. Go ahead. It's all right. You know, that's what you're called. Just nudge them. Just push them a little down the road, all right? You push a little, I'll push a little, and you never know. Somebody else is pushing a little. And then you know what? They suddenly get to being receptive. They want to go, you want to come to church? If I go to church, the whole roof will cave in. The place will fall apart. I'll walk in. I mean, I'm so evil. It'll blow up. I hear people say that. You have people say that. I'm like, well, come then. I'd love to see that. That would be so awesome. I mean, that would be amazing. If you walk in a room and the place would blow up, that would be so cool. I want to see that. Just nudge them down the road. Do whatever it takes, you know. And then you'll find people that are seeking. You'll find people that are considering. I had Adam and Rachel. Adam and Rachel right over there. They're right there. That's Adam and Rachel. Adam, did you get invited by your family to come to church? Rachel's not there. Sorry, the lights are in my eyes. But anyways, Adam and Rachel came to see me. Now, did you get invited to church by your family, Adam? So you got hashtag invited, eh? That's awesome. Right there, an invite right there. How many other people came to this church because you were invited by somebody? Put your hand up really high. Holy moly, Batman. That's way better than advertising or a sign out in the room. I was going to put a great big, you know, battery operated or one of those big blow-up Jesuses on the roof, you know. Woo, come on. We're open. Woo. Anyways, but you know what? You just got to invite people. Look at all these people that came in contact with the transformational power of God because somebody invited them. You know, when they first came, they both had clipboards. And they came into my office and sat down and said, we got questions. I said, I don't have any answers. They wanted to know about God. And I said, all I really know about God is he's nuts about you, loves you, and he totally accepts you. You probably got all kinds of questions I can't answer. I could probably give you some information, and we could exchange some information, and I could kind of try to be the defense attorney for Jesus. Well, on Jesus' defense, you know, he wasn't here when that happened. So, you know, I thought he was everywhere. I guess he is. I don't know. But I said to him, I said, all I do know is that when you believe him, that something happens in your life. That when you believe him, there's a supernatural, powerful transformation that happens, that suddenly your questions are gone, because I can't argue you into the kingdom. I'm not going to have an information exchange with you, but I tell you, if you believe on him, you'll have an encounter with Jesus, and you'll know for yourself that he's your God and your Savior. Is that true? Yes. All right, that's good. I love it when true stories in the room. I'm not even making this up. It's my son said, he's a little boy, you know. Said, what's your daddy do for a living? Said, he don't do nothing, he's a preacher. Actually, that's my daughter said that. But then we're with somebody else, you know, and my son, I was talking, telling some people something, and Dylan turned to me and says, Dad, are you telling the truth or are you preaching? I said, I'm always telling the truth. I mean, that may sound amazing, but I'm amazing. You have no idea. I got stories you don't know. We're moving people down the line. See, these guys got moved down the line by a family, by a sister who got touched. They got influenced by people's experience and people's lives. They got bounced down the line until they got into the pastor's office and said, I don't have any answers. All I know is he loves you. He's nuts about you. He's removed everything that would hinder the relationship. He dealt with every obstacle, and he just thinks you're amazing, and he wants you to believe that he loves you. And they did that, and it's so awesome. It's so good. And, you know, 4 days later, 4 days later, Adam was in here on a Wednesday night prophesying. 4 days after he accepted Jesus. Now, that is a violation of everything. You can't prophesy 4 days after he gets it. Well, he did. You know what I loved? You know what I loved is I said, Adam, what's the Lord saying to you? And he says, the Lord just said to me, forgive everybody. I was like, man, that is so good. Eh? All right, so we're moving people down the line, right? That's all you got to do. You just got to bump them down the line, just a little bump them down the line. That's all you got to do. I mean, maybe you're just, that's what you do. You bump, you just smile. Hi. And you have no idea what kind of impact that could have on somebody. Because they've seen all kinds of Christians there. Hi. Transform their whole world with a smile. You know, then they get some understanding. Then they get to where they're ready. Then they get to where they believe. And then we step into belonging and serving and thriving and reaching. Claudia, jump up. Claudia, just stand up right where you are. Just go ahead. Jump up. Wave at me. Real high there. That's Claudia. She's awesome. You know what? She came last Wednesday night and she was telling me before she left, she says, you know what? I've been here at this church for a while, you know, and she was invited by Tammy Urshinsky. Invited. Now she's invited family and she's invited friends and she's filling a whole row. She said, I'm committed to this whole section. It's awesome, Claudia. I'm just putting words in her mouth, but it's a good idea. But Claudia said, since I came to this church, the word has come alive. I understand things. You put me in that developing your foundations class. You started moving me along. She became a believer, and then she started to belong, and then she started to get involved. And then, you know, we said, you should go to this, and you should go to this, and we need to get you plugged. That's why we do small groups, folks. Hello. And we got people going into these groups, and then thank God for people serving in small groups and doing those things, because people are, and she's saying, I don't know more about God now in the last several months than I knew all my life, and I'm just growing so fast, and the Bible's alive to me. Is that right, Claudia? Is that right? Amen. You know, we got a path here. We got a track. We got, maybe you didn't know it, but we literally, when people come, we you're a guest, you believe, you belong, you serve, you thrive, you reach, you lead, you expand. We got tracks for people. We don't just want to move them from resistant to getting to Jesus and move on. We want to see them fully realize their destiny and purpose for which God called them to be. That's what we're doing around here. Hashtag invite. Because we got something going on. We got a responsibility. We as a corporate body have a sphere of influence here. And we've got to do this well. Thank you, Pastor. Sam Williams, good. I thought it was a good definition for evangelism. He said, evangelism is helping people discover how God is already at work in their lives. Evangelism is helping people discover how God is already at work in their lives. The same Gallup poll that I read about people want to go to church, same Gallup poll said the number one thing that is on the mind of young people today, the number one thing that young people discuss. You know what it said? And this was a whole Gallup poll. They said young people are discussing spirituality. That's what they're discussing. And you know why? You know why? Because God is already doing stuff in everybody's life. He's already working on hearts of men and women out there, young people, kids. He's working on their hearts and lives. And you know what? Evangelism is helping people discover how God is already at work in their lives. Say amen, Pastor. Yeah, I was at Tim and Jenna's wedding. I was there. I gave a little short little sermon. I in the morning, I had a nice little outline, nice little wedding outline. And then just before we went, a couple hours before we went, I said, you know what? I just want to read this verse. I just want to talk about this verse. I changed it all up and it's kind of awkward because I didn't have my nice little outline that I usually have. But I said, you know, when I think about Tim and Jenna, I think about two kids that are fearless. I think about two kids that are just approaching life with everything. And there's not a single care in the world. I mean, I love that they can't wait to get married. They're excited about getting married. They're excited about their new home and their new jobs, their new careers. They're just ready to embrace life and just do everything. And I love it. And you know, I just felt in my heart that in 1 John 4, it says, perfect love casts out all fear. You know, when you are perfectly loved and you've embraced the perfect love of God, you are fearless. There's nothing, you don't have a concern because you know that it's God. I am wrapped up in the love of God. I mean, if God's for me, who can be against me? I mean, God loves me. I can do anything.